Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM channel 204. Kevin, happy Friday. We have some top headlines to get to, but overall, just wanted to say it was a great opening day, and I hope you won some bets.
Yeah, great opening day. Certainly subjective. We'll talk about it. You know, I have my Yankees polo on because you always support win or lose, but yeah, opening day was certainly here, and we'll talk about it from there on. But a happy Friday, of course.
Yeah, happy Friday. Friday vibes today. All right, let's get to our 7-7. MLB opening day, of course, was yesterday. 15-game slate turned into 13 games. Of course, that Nationals-Mets game was canceled due to the Nationals' COVID issues, and the Orioles-Red Sox game was canceled due to a rain delay, not COVID, but most teams have off the day after opening day just in case that one of these teams does need to make up a game. But just given that it was opening day and we already had COVID issues, it seems, not that it's the most negative thing, but it's something to definitely keep in mind throughout the season.
Yeah, and of course it's frustrating for those two fan bases, especially the Mets, because they, and those players I'm sure as well, because they themselves weren't positive, but it, I guess, serves as a reminder that none of us wanted, but perhaps could possibly be necessary, that just because it is a new Major League Baseball season, it does not mean that COVID cannot still have its impact on this Major League Baseball season. Hopefully by the time we get closer into the second half All-Star break, it is not. But, unfortunately, game one of a COVID cancellation.
Yeah, you hate to say it. And of those 13 games that were played yesterday, there's a ton of headlines. And Kev and I will hit all of those. But just want to mention off the bat, World Series favorites go down. The Dodgers lose, as well as your Yankees, even though you're rocking the polo this morning.
Yeah, you had to support it. What an incredibly frustrating loss for the New York Yankees. And I think the fact that the Dodgers lost probably takes a little bit of heat off of them. The Dodgers supposed to go out there, win all of their games, basically. Kershaw on the mound doesn't look very sharp. Probably serves as a good reminder that things are going to be up and down as it is a 162-game season.
Yes, for sure. And I've mentioned that we're going to break down all the top headlines, which we will. But one other noteworthy one was the Angels taking down the Chicago White Sox 4-3 with two runs in that eighth inning to push them ahead in that game.
Yeah, it was easy to see why Mike Trout is plus 220 to win the AL MVP. He steps up and you're like, oh, I'm sure he's going to deliver. Yeah, he absolutely does. Brings in the tying run. And then Albert Pujols still getting the job done. Is he retiring when the year's over? I have no idea. Maybe, maybe not. Depends what the missus is posting on Instagram these days. But he steps up as well, brings in a runner for a nice RBI that put them in front in the bottom of the eighth inning. And they got a good win to start their season.
Yes, they did. Let's switch it over to the NBA now. The Nuggets are tied for the number 4 seed in the Eastern Conference standings with the Lakers. Now, this, of course, comes after the Nuggets beat the Clippers yesterday 101-94, but they are tied there in that number 4 spot.
And that's what we've been waiting to see, not only as it pertains to Nikola Jokic and his MVP candidacy getting inside that top 4. Very likely will help him secure that award without much pushback. And, of course, what that means for the Lakers and the seeding overall in the Western Conference, that the favorite to win the West might not actually finish with one of the 4 best records.
Yes, and continuing in the NBA with some of our top headlines here, Victor Oladipo made his debut for the Heat. Now, this was something we were looking forward to. Miami down Golden State 116-109. Now, as for Oladipo, he only had 6 points, 3 boards, 5 assists, and 23 minutes of action. As we welcome in our radio audience, you're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, talking about some top headlines, Victor Oladipo making his debut. Kev, what was your biggest takeaway from his debut?
Yeah, well, I think right away you see the fact that Oladipo inserted into that starting lineup, which is, I think, noteworthy because they maybe could have gone sixth man. Now, Goran Dragic missed this game due to injury, so perhaps that's not solidified, but it is my expectations. And he was a part of the closing lineup, which was important as well. Not his sharpest game, certainly not a very efficient game. 2 of 8 from the floor, missed all of his threes, 2 of 5 from the free throw line, but it was a good win for the Miami Heat. They go back above 500, and they're going to look to try to keep that to be the case for the remainder of the year.
Yes, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, they'll build even more chemistry there. Let's switch it over to college hoops. So North Carolina Tar Heels basketball coach Roy Williams announced his retirement yesterday. I was kind of shocked by this. He's a Hall of Famer with more than 900 wins, 3 national championships, and a legacy built on 33 seasons of success. Kev, one of the GOATs goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big-time change here. Roy Williams, one of the most legendary coaches of this game. And when you think about college basketball, biggest rivalries, it's Duke versus UNC. And next year, they'll play that game, and Coach K is going to be coaching against somebody entirely different. Really going to be interesting to see who UNC brings in to try to replace a guy as legendary as Roy Williams, and also for Duke fans, perhaps, a little bit of a reminder that Coach K's time could very well be coming up sooner than later as well.
Yes, but definitely a legendary coach. We'll talk more about his retirement in the second hour of the show. But just want to switch it over to the Final Four. That is this Saturday. We have number 2 Houston versus number 1 Baylor. Bears laying 5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Number 11 UCLA versus number 1 Gonzaga, with the Zags, of course, laying double digits, minus 14 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We have 2 number 1 seeds remaining. We'll break into these games even more, but I'm excited to watch both of these tomorrow.
Absolutely monster games here, and we're going to break it all down in hour number 2, from not just the games, but the player props, the futures markets, most outstanding player. We're going to have you covered wire to wire as we get you ready for the Final Four games taking place tomorrow.
Yes, we will. So this here on the Early Line, coming up next, we're going to talk all things that happened in the MLB yesterday. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Now, of course, we had MLB opening day, so just want to mention that Underdogs went 7-5 with the Astros A's closing pick'em. Biggest upsets by the Pirates, the Rockies, plus the Blue Jays beat the Yankees. Sorry, Kev. Overs went 8-5 despite the dead end ball and most aces starting, but first 5 overs also went 7-5-1. So we want to talk about some just overall initial thoughts after opening day, starting off with our first observation. Kev, were there any for you that you noticed yesterday?
It's got to be the fact that 4 of the 5 biggest favorites lost, right? I mean, it has to
it
be
has
that.
To be, yeah.
Congrats to the Padres for getting the job done. But what an opening day wake-up call to bettors that this isn't just, who's the favorite? Great. Put him in. Let's lock that down. Mm-hmm. Let's lay a run and a half. Eyes closed, no problem. You know, a lot of people talk when it comes to Major League Baseball, you know, about parlaying these money line favorites together and how successful you can actually be at that over time, and that it's not, you know, a legitimate strategy. I don't think you could argue that, although yesterday I would have rather had my parlays all blown up with nothing but 2 team losers as opposed to laying the minus 260 on the Dodgers or the 225 on the Cubs in a single game and taking that L as well. It was just so, I mean, 4 out of the 5. And if you look at the 4 that lost, right? The Yankees and Gerrit Cole, the Indians and Shane Bieber. The Cubs playing a Pirates team that is supposed to be the worst in baseball with their ace Kyle Hendricks on the mound. And then the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw. Like, it wasn't teams. You know, maybe, okay, you say the Cubs should never be that big of favorites, even if the Pirates are supposed to be bad. Fine. But, like, Cole Bieber, top two choices for Cy Young in the American League, and then the Dodgers are supposed to win 105 baseball games and send Clayton Kershaw to the mound? I mean, that's just unbelievable that four of those teams took L's on opening day.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that not many people were expecting, although some of our guests that came on actually said some of those bottom feeder teams, don't be surprised if they win on opening day, just because they're coming out with the mentality of we want to win the World Series like everybody else, but as soon as they get those stretches of maybe 10, 12 losses, they're like, okay, our season, let's pack it up, let's just go get those picks, and they don't play as great as they did in the opener. But it was interesting that the first five overs went 7-5-1, and then the underdogs won 7-5. So some of those teams came back in the final innings, which is something that we will talk about, but it's also interesting that the overs went 8-5, despite a lot of people thinking that opening day is going to be the under, especially when you factor in the weather in some of these places.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you bring up kind of teams coming back, so this is the other reminder about Major League Baseball, and I know these things are very basic and people know this, but it's an adjustment to make when you're constantly, say, betting the NBA these days, or you're betting your college basketball. You're not working against the clock. Yes, we have, you know, a set innings limit coming into the game. We could always go into extras. But if I bet over 8 runs and then I go into the 8th inning and the score is 1-0, well, I mean, I just need a rally. Yeah, obviously I have less time. But, if I mean, you go into this Gonzaga game tomorrow, say you bet over 145, you need 40 points in the final 3 minutes. I mean, that's just absurd, right? Like, you're like, oh, this is not good. The live total is significantly less. Gonzaga's going to dribble the clock. Like, this is a nightmare. So your totals, that's the thing. Like, especially someone like myself who always will hold on hope that my overs have a chance. Always in Major League Baseball. You all like, oh, big seventh inning coming here.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that I feel like everybody needs to stay cautious of those extra innings as well. Like, you're hoping that you hit the over, but it could potentially not happen. But also when they bring in those relief pitchers, it's kind of a matter of, okay, we could give up a ton of runs towards the end of those games, which is why you saw a lot of the underdogs win those games. So maybe betting on those first five is the way to go if you feel really confident in a team. But overall, just a lot of really crazy things happen. So why don't we get into some of the games? I feel so bad starting off with this one. With the Blue Jays, of course, down to the Yankees, 3-2. They get a run in the 10th inning, and the Yankees had multiple chances to win this game, Kev. They really did. I was watching some of this game. It actually was on my TV, which was surprising. I kind of had a root for you there. But, just overall, the Blue Jays got it done over the Yanks in opening day.
Look, here's the deal. Aaron and I were on the phone, actually, just kind of sorting some things out for the show when Gary Sanchez hit the home run. I'm like, oh, wow, you're good lucky.
Kevin was screaming. Can confirm.
Yeah. I was very excited. I told her, I'm like, oh, you're good luck. This is tremendous. She immediately hung up. She clearly had some money out there on the Blue Jays. And you know what?
No, I didn't.
That's just unacceptable. No, I'm kidding. But ultimately, I think for the Yankees, it's a wildly frustrating start. 0-9 with runners in scoring position is wildly unacceptable for a lineup that is, no matter who you talk to, one of the three best in baseball. Some would make the argument it's the best in baseball. DJ LeMahieu, 0-4. Judge, a nightmare in all of the big spots. Stanton, here we go again with an 0-5. And if you look at the first four guys in that Yanks lineup, Judge was the only one to get a hit. Couple of walks for Hicks and LeMahieu, and then Stanton didn't touch base once. That can't happen. You cannot go up there and rip 1-for-18 from your first four guys. Ryu, this guy won a Cy Young or was in the Cy Young hunt not all that long ago back when he was with the Dodgers. I get it. But they didn't even touch this Blue Jays bullpen. It can't be. And I can't even say they didn't touch this Blue Jays bullpen. They did. They put guys on. They just couldn't get clutch hits. It's an unacceptable start for the Yankees as they drop their first home opener. in the last five seasons.
Yeah, definitely unacceptable, especially for a team that has, you know, the odds to win the World Series at plus 550, one of those World Series contenders that we're thinking of having. All right, another game that happened yesterday, Indians-Tigers. So the Tigers surprisingly beat the Indians 3-2. Indians got those two runs in the ninth inning, but just not enough time for, you know, the Indians to come back there. Lots of memes about Shane Bieber yesterday that I saw. He posted a 4.5 ERA in that game. Were you most surprised by this one, Kev?
Look, I think two things from this. First of all, how about Miguel Cabrera cashes the first home run of the season tickets at about 45-1, which was pretty wild, taking Bieber deep in the first inning. But how about the strikeout prop? Look, I get it. I don't want to take away from the Tigers getting a win. Cool, great, fine, whatever. Shane Bieber's strikeout prop was 8.5. And, you know, you talk more around, and apparently everybody liked this thing to the over, right? We saw it early, Aaron. We saw it at plus money. It closed it closer to minus 115 range. It should have been 9.5. I mean, there was nothing to even think about when they posted that 8.5 number. I understand it was opening day. Maybe the guy is not going to have his sharpest stuff, or perhaps they won't let him go as long. He didn't have his sharpest stuff, and he didn't go all that long. And he still blew past this number. I mean, he had 9 strikeouts in 4 innings, finished with 12 here. I am now anxiously awaiting Shane Bieber's second start to see where the FanDuel Sportsbook posts his strikeout prop. This might be the only time all year long that that number is 8.5 as opposed to 9.5, and make people pay for a double-digit K game from Shane Bieber.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep an eye on him. Another surprising win yesterday was for the Pirates, another bad team expected to go down, but they beat the Cubs as underdogs 5-3. Now, Cubs' Kyle Hendricks, this was his first opening day career start, looking to play, of course, a full season since undergoing Tommy John surgery in 2018. He pitched 3 innings there. He posted a 9 ERA.
Yeah, not great from Hendricks, although I would say a big story for the Pirates here. And you know, you said Donnie Wright makes this point yesterday when he joined us. These teams don't know they're supposed to be bad. The Pirates want to know. They believe, and one of the things that'll make them believe if this does continue is Cabrian Hayes, who took Hendricks deep in that first inning with a 2-run shot, and he is supposed to believe that favorite for the National League's Rookie of the Year. So performances like that and results like this will have Pirates fans excited.
Yes, it will. So that's here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to continue talking about the MLB. Stay with us.
Your heart.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks for joining us on this Friday morning. Yesterday, of course, MLB opening day. So Kevin and I are going to continue with some recap and a little bit of preview sprinkled in. So also yesterday, my dog of the day, it hit. We had the Cardinals beating the Reds. Boy, did this game go over 17 combined runs. Cardinals win 11-6. But Kev, the Cardinals in that first inning, 6 runs.
Yeah, and that's what you love to see, the Cardinals helping out both members of the early line here. Love to see a good dog of the day come home. And yesterday made the case for this team to win the National League. Look, it's one game, but they certainly looked good, right? You love to see Arenado stepping up in his debut here with the St. Louis Cardinals. And also Paul Goldschmidt was tremendous in this game. 4 hits in 5 at-bats, 3 runs scored, and an RBI as well. If you're the St. Louis Cardinals, there's not much more you could ask for, certainly from the lineup. You could have had a better performance out of Flaherty, but you didn't need one. And that's almost, in a way, settling. The bullpen came in and put together a really strong performance where they didn't give up any of the runs. So all in all, if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, if you're a St. Louis Cardinals backer, this was a really encouraging opening day performance. They were going up against Luis Castillo, a legitimate Cy Young caliber pitcher, and they rocked him. He didn't even make it out of the fourth inning. Really impressive stuff from St. Louis.
Yeah, I was definitely impressed by that win. And, of course, when the dog of the day hits, you start riding that team. I'm sure I'll be betting on them again. Another game that happened, Braves-Phillies. Great win for the Phillies. Of course, under seven hits does hit in this game, not to play on those words there. But the Phillies win in that 10th inning, 3-2. What were your thoughts on this game? Obviously, Aaron Nola, I think he pitched pretty well. He had a 2.7 ERA and pitched through six innings.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I saw it was 2-0, right, with the Phillies. And then all of a sudden I saw it was 2-2, and I'm like, oh, no, not again. Did the bullpen come in and ruin it? It was actually Aaron Nola's fault. Now, he was as you said, he was really good in the game. But he was the one who gave up the homer to Pablo Sandoval, and that is good. Because, honestly, I don't think Phillies fans could have handled the scars automatically off the bat that their bullpen ruined a gem from Aaron Nola. And then they get the job done in extra innings. Unlike my New York Yankees, Aaron gets to see her team win in extras because Jean Segura steps up to the plate and gets the job done. And listen, again, one game in. We're not going to overreact. Nothing crazy here. But they're playing the Atlanta Braves team that won this division, right there neck and neck with the Mets for the favorites for the division, went to the National League Championship Series. The Phillies are a team that has this kind of potential. We know it's there, but they play in this tough NL East. You know, you need to keep the momentum going here. The Phillies often, find this awful way to lose games. They have no business losing. This was a good result for them to put into the pocket they won.
Yes, it was. All right, another game that was surprising that we didn't really hit on yet was the Dodgers obviously losing to the Rockies, the reigning World Series champions. They lose 8-5, heavy underdogs win that game, over 11 runs hit. But this was an afternoon where Cody Bellinger had a homer negated due to a base running mistake. Do we want to kind of mention this just because I think a lot of people are probably seeing that play on Twitter and just kind of like, wait, what just happened there?
Yeah, total debacle. It looked like it might have been caught. It looked like it might have bounced off the outfielder type of deal. But Cody Bellinger's like, yep, I'm rounding the bases. Justin Turner thought it was caught. So he just starts running backwards. Bellinger's like, where are you going? It ends up being a single. It was just a total nightmare on from all things considered, for the Dodgers, and they go on to lose this game. But really the most concerning thing was the Clayton Kershaw performance. He goes 5 2/3, 10 hits, 5 earned runs, and only strikes out 2 batters. And yesterday, Aaron, you mentioned the Clayton Kershaw spring training numbers were abysmal. Again, one game.
Terrible.
Coors Field. I get it. But this is an awful start for Clayton Kershaw. And the Dodgers are a team that can survive Kershaw not being all that good. He got the ball on opening day, but he is far from their best pitcher. He's not even their second best pitcher. It's Bauer, and then it's Buehler, and then Kershaw. But it might be something for us to keep an eye on as he is, starting to, get up there in tenure. Perhaps Clayton Kershaw not going to be anywhere near the guy he once was.
Yes, for sure. Now, in that game, the total was set at 11. These two teams are playing again today with the total already at 12. We're seeing the Dodgers still, despite this loss, heavy favorites, minus 250. So wouldn't be surprised if this kind of lights a fire underneath them and they come out and they play really well. Of course, like you mentioned, Trevor Bauer, one of their best pitchers, he's going to be pitching for the Dodgers today. So given that this total is high at 12, would you assume to maybe take the under here, just given that Trevor Bauer won't give up as many runs?
I don't mind that play. Trevor Bauer coming off of the NL Cy Young. This is probably the biggest game on the slate with him making that Dodgers debut. Bauer has one career start at Coors Field. Went terrible. He only went 3 1/3, gave up 4 runs, and walked 5. Again, Coors Field can eat up even the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. But that was also back in 2017. Bauer has only gotten better throughout his time on the mound. The interesting thing, he's going up against Santanzella, who for the Rockies last year loved pitching at Coors Field, which makes no sense. His home road splits, he had a 2.10 ERA at home, a 4.62 on the road. I mean, what is... Hello, you were at Coors Field when you were at home. That's not how that's supposed to go, but he was tremendous. I want to see him. We don't have the market up just yet, but no runs in the first inning, Aaron. is something that would have my interest. Santanzella only gave up one of his five starts. Did he give up a run in the first inning at Coors Field last year? And then Trevor Bauer was dominant. 12 starts, including the postseason. Only once did he give up a run in the first inning. You should be getting it at plus money because the total is so high. I wouldn't be mad at no runs in the first inning with this Dodgers-Rockies showdown.
That's actually a great way to play that. And there's six games on the board today for the MLB, with that one game being the Orioles-Red Sox game that was postponed yesterday. So let's continue to go down this board. The one thing I wanted to point out, so the Astros-Athletics game yesterday, of course, the Astros winning 8-1. They're actually underdogs in this spot right now, plus 126 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with the total at 8. Should bettors be surprised that a team that goes out and wins 8-1 then become plus money? Obviously, it's different because of the pitchers and things of that nature, but I just wanted to note that for somebody who's probably looking at the box scores from yesterday and then saying, how is this team plus money just 24 hours later?
No, look, I think you're actually making a really good point here, okay? If tonight the Blazers play the Bucks and the Bucks are laying 4 points and then they play tomorrow, they're not all going to sudden be getting 4 points unless all of the Bucks are out. But on a daily basis, these teams will have these repeat performances. We have our series, but the pitching is what matters the most. Now, the Dodgers could put anybody on the mound, right? We just talked about the Dodgers and the Rockies. They're going to be favored over Colorado. That's just the nature of the LA Dodgers. But for teams that are close, like the Athletics and the Astros are, you go home field plus then Lizardo, who the book is clearly respecting here with this near minus 150 price on the A's, and you see that big jump. I do think, though, Aaron, it's very likely that the Astros are a popular pick. Christian Javier was awesome for the Astros during their postseason run. Factoring in what they did yesterday, the bats were rolling. Bregman hit a ball that I'm still not sure if it's landed. They carried that total by themselves and cashed you a little late night over at almost plus 130. I think the Astros are going to be a very popular pooch.
Yeah, I think they will as well. And then also, for MLB games that are on the board, we have the Rays-Marlins. Of course, yesterday, the Rays only scored one run. The Marlins, none on the board. So it's surprising when you see a total at 7.5, of course, with both teams at minus money right now because clearly they were so evenly matched. When you have a team that's very well at pitching one day, the next day when they bring in somebody else, do you expect them to play and actually get those runs, or do you think it'll be the same thing, a very low-scoring game?
Yeah, tough start if you're playing in a shutout pool and you drew the Marlins out of the hat. Hate that. Opening day eliminated from your shutout pools, that just cannot be. But as you said, a 1-0 game, and Yarbrough and Pablo Lopez, the two pitchers that are going to be on the mound today, not poor pitchers, right? Not, you know, not people that were saying, oh, we're going to beat up on these guys, but it's certainly a step down from Glasnow, who was on the mound just yesterday for the Rays. And I think overall, coming back as well, Arcantara, who was on the mound for the Marlins, these hitters just might feel like they're going from a much easier setting on the dial, and they might be a little bit more tuned in. It's hard not to look at those two teams being completely shut down and then saying to yourselves, all right, you know what? We can go out there and have a much, much better performance here from our bats. I think even specifically the Rays, as Lopez had multiple reps versus the Rays last year, he was solid in the first one, but in his second meeting with the team, he only lasted four innings and gave up five runs in that game. The Rays may be a little confident going up there against Lopez. I can see their bats specifically waking up.
And another game I just want to mention quickly before we come to the break, Diamondbacks, Padres. Padres win yesterday 8-7, but the Diamondbacks, they rallied with six runs in that fifth inning, 15 overall runs in that game. They're playing again today with a total at 8.5. Of course, the Padres favored in this matchup. Do you lean either way here?
I'm really excited for this one. Blake Snell's debut with the Padres. The last time he was on the mound, he was getting pulled out of the World Series, and he was furious about it. I would probably look at that Snell strikeout prop. He might be tuned in and looking to strike out some Diamondbacks.
That's a great way to play it. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk all things NBA, get into some preview and a little bit of recap.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line with Aaron Dolan. Joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We are going to get into some NBA recap. So off the bat, the top headline to me is Victor Oladipo, of course, making his debut in a Miami Heat jersey. The Heat win 116-109 over the Golden State Warriors. Now, for Oladipo, looking at the box score, he had 6 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. Of course, many people on the Heat having good games. Butler, 22 points. Bam Adebayo, 19 points. Tyler Hero, 20 points. So he's probably trying to figure out a little bit of that chemistry there. But overall, how did you see him fitting in last night's game?
Yeah, I think he fits like a glove. You know, and Oladipo was talking before the game about his role and buying in on the defensive side of the ball. And we talked about this when the trade went down. The idea of Victor Oladipo coming in to the Miami Heat and being a lockdown defender is not some ridiculous concept. The last time he had a fully healthy season, he was first team All-NBA defense and led the NBA in steals. If he can touch anything near that level, what a win for the Miami Heat. But his offensive game has grown. He was playmaking down the stretch, had 5 assists in this game, did rack up 2 steals as well. The efficiency will come. Again, wildly inefficient game from Oladipo shooting-wise. But he's been working his way back. It was his first game with a brand-new team. I was very encouraged overall, Aaron, with this performance from Miami.
Yeah, we've seen players, even I'm going to relate this to James Harden, when he came to the Nets team, he seemed technically off the bat inefficient what's going on with him, and it just takes some time sometimes to kind of fit into that offensive scheme. And, of course, him being good on the defensive side of the ball is always a plus because we'll be rooting, I'm sure, for the Miami Heat come the playoffs. But another game that happened last night with the Brooklyn Nets, 111 win to 89 over the Charlotte Hornets. Now, I was watching this game, and the one thing that just completely stuck out to me was the Hornets completely ice cold from beyond the arc. I mean, they were 1-12 at one point in this game. They ended up 13 of 38 with Gordon Hayward, 13 points, leading the team there. And then for the Brooklyn Nets, you have Kyrie Irving, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. LaMarcus Aldridge also assisting him with 11 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. So did the Nets just take this one and run with it, Kev?
Yeah, they absolutely did. Right from the jump, they won the first quarter 32-11, ball game right there. Wasn't competitive moving forward. And you could say maybe the Hornets were due for a performance like this. At some point, not having LaMelo Ball had to show its head, you would think. But really, again, you have to give the Nets credit here. When we flip the calendar to the postseason, I will go back to screaming my head off about the fact that Kevin Durant doesn't play basketball. If that remains the case when we get there. If you're a Sixers fan, this has to be incredibly frustrating. That, yeah, you're dealing with your Joel Embiid injuries, but the Nets, no Durant, now no Harden, Kyrie by himself, whatever, doesn't matter. Kyrie almost notches a triple-double, and they beat the Charlotte Hornets 111-89. Like, they just rarely lose games, this team. Jeff Green stepped up, knocked down 5 threes. LaMarcus Aldridge was solid in the debut with 11 points and 9 boards in a start. The Nets continually put wins up on the board. And the postseason stuff, of course, again, we'll get there. But it's relevant when we talk about seeding here. Mm-hmm. Being the number one seed is a big edge for whoever gets it.
Yes, it is. And of course, the Nets are ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers right now. And speaking of standings in the Western Conference standings, we now have the Denver Nuggets tied for fourth with the LA Lakers, with the Denver Nuggets beating the Clippers last night 101-94. Of course, we can't talk about this without talking as well about the MVP market. Nikola Jokic -130 to win MVP. Then behind him, a surprising dark horse, James Harden +500. Of course, he's been playing fantastic for that team, but is injured right now. And then you have Joel Embiid also at +500. LeBron James at +850. He's also out and injured. But overall, that seeding for the Lakers and Denver Nuggets kind of being in that number four spot, it's interesting because the Lakers don't want to continue to fall down the board and end up playing somebody kind of pretty competitive in that first round in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the reality for this West is they're going to play somebody tough. A lot of people, you know, yesterday, the timeline, oh my goodness, Nuggets, Nets, finals chatter. Guys, relax. But I get it, okay? Because people are excited with what Jokic is doing. Aaron Gordon comes in. They haven't lost since the move. All in all, you're going to be able to do this nonstop. Oh, boy, would I not want to play the Clippers in round one. I would not want to play the Mavericks in round one. Don't want to play the Lake. Yeah, I get it. West is real good. There's nobody that you want to play. But it's going to be interesting now to see how the Lakers can keep their heads above water, because the Nuggets have obviously snapped out of whatever funk they were in the beginning of the season, winners of four in a row. And in fact, you look at this Lakers situation where they are dogs once again tonight. Would a loss not only would Denver clear them, but if Portland could get the job done in their game tonight, the Lakers would wake up tomorrow as the sixth seed in the Western Conference. And the question that I'm starting to wonder is, will the Lakers maintain their Western Conference favorite status on the FanDuel Sportsbook? There is still a big gap between the Lakers and the rest of them. The Lakers are plus 140. The Clippers are plus 260. They are a tier one in this market. You could almost argue that the Lakers are tier one and that the Clippers are tier two. And the Jets. I mean, it's just like everybody is kind of on their own little island there. But at some point, you have to wonder if that is going to move a little bit more. We've also made this distinction, though. What is important is staying outside of the 7 or the 8 spot and not having to play in one of those play-in games, and there's still a 4-game gap between the Lakers or the Nuggets and that spot in the Western Conference.
And speaking of the Lakers, they're going to play the Sacramento Kings tonight. But the Lakers, of course, are underdogs here, +5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, with the total at 221.5. Just saw that LaMarcus Aldridge will also not be playing in this game, of course, with that toe injury. But just want to mention, overall, how do you think these teams are going to play against each other? Obviously, we just talked about, you know, you cannot have the Lakers continue to drop games there.
Yeah, so, you know, it's actually pretty interesting. First of all, Drummond's not playing, which is wild. That this guy just in, out, boom, like he lost his nail, his big toe. Lost the nail, and now he's going to be out a couple of games, which is tough and a little bit gruesome. But all in all, the Lakers now are going to have to go out there and try and get the job done. Of course, LeBron, AD, but now without Drummond. This game against the Kings, though, is a matchup that we actually somewhat have a sample size of. These teams played right before the All-Star break. No LeBron. It was his first game off. Of course, no Anthony Davis. The Lakers lost 123-120. So instantly, you have to think about this spot here and ask yourself about a total that checks in at 221.5. And can we get a little bit more of the higher scoring basketball game that we got last time? Plus, the Lakers did a nice job in covering that time. They were, you know, in a good spot to even win that game. So, all in all, I think you would lean towards the Lakers +5, still against the Sacramento team, even if they're playing better basketball. I don't love the notion of them laying 5 points. And an over in a Kings game, because we saw these teams meet with similar lineups, and they got all the way up to 243.
Yeah, the Lakers are 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 meetings in Sacramento, and 1-6 against the spread in the last 7 games overall. I'm sure, of course, having some of their star players go down does not help them there. Meanwhile, for the Sacramento Kings, 4-1 against the spread in the last 5 Friday games, 3-8 against the spread in the last 11 home games as well. Just want to mention that. Now, for another game on the board, we have the Bucks Trailblazers. Kev, why are the Bucks on the road and only favored by 3 against this Portland Trailblazers team?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the exact same thing. Number looked light, right? Portland, I get it. I get it somewhat with Portland, but this is a Bucks team that usually lays much bigger numbers than this. I mean, Milwaukee laid 2 at the Staples Center when they played the Clippers. Now, all right, Paul George didn't play all in all, but, I mean, it feels like a light number. Is there an adjustment on the power ratings to the Milwaukee Bucks? Is Portland getting a little bit more juice now, winners of 4 in a row, as not only is C.J. McCollum now probably fully back, Norman Powell added at the deadline, but Yusuf Nurkic, one of the under-the-radar returns that we saw in this 4-game win streak. 3 of them have been covers by the Blazers. The one game they didn't cover, Lillard didn't play in. So perhaps you could look at it from that perspective here. But, yeah, I just really struggle to wrap my head around this number, not being closer to maybe five. Also intrigued by the total, Aaron, at 236. Yeah, I know it's a lot of points, but we've seen Bucks games gladly get up into the 240s, and the Blazers have now cashed four consecutive overs during this win streak, and they've hit at least 122 points in the three games that Lillard played during this run. This feels like a game that gets to the 240s.
Yeah, maybe that line's so low just because the Bucks have been terrible against the spread lately. 2-7 in their last nine road games, 1-4 in their last five games overall. Now the Trailblazers 2-5 against the spread in their last seven home games. The over is 8-3 in the Bucks' last 11 overall. Of course, we know that is already set high, but they're hitting that over. And then the over, like Kevin mentioned, 4-0 in the Trailblazers' last four overall. So continuing to look down the board, another game that jumps out to me is the Suns OKC. Now the Suns are laying 13, so we expect this to potentially be a blowout. But in the Suns' last two games, they won the game but did not cover, and that was the only two games this season where that trend happened. It was snapped, of course. Kevin and I talking for a while how every time the Suns cover, they win as well. But just wanted to mention that game quickly.
I'm very sad. The trend is really dead, isn't it? It's really dead, right?
I think it's over. I think it's not one we can ride anymore.
No, I agree. And I overall, a Suns team that is a preposterous 31-16 against the number, probably about to come back to the pack a little bit now. They've actually now, over their last five, only covered twice, which again, not what you expect from this Phoenix team, especially laying a big number like this. You probably take the points. Oh, I can't believe this. Can you believe it?
You feel bad already fading them?
No, I don't even want to. It's not even that, but you know, it's like, oh, you just take the Thunder money line and maybe they'll win or Phoenix is going to slaughter them, but this is where we are now. The Suns maybe just not going to win and cover every night. What an unfortunate scene. What a beautiful time it was.
Yeah. It was. Another game on the board I wanted to mention, Hawks, Pelicans. Hawks right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook laying to the Pelicans, coming off a loss to the Magic, a 115-110 loss. As for the Hawks, of course, going into overtime last night. So they're playing on a back-to-back, which is why I'm surprised they're favored in this spot on the road.
Yeah. Last night, Atlanta wins in double overtime against the San Antonio Spurs. Trae Young scores 24 points between the fourth quarter and overtime. Just a special performance for Trae to help that team snap out of the funk that they had found themselves in a little bit during that Western Conference run. Again, the never-ending Western Conference loop. In comes a Pelicans team, right, also on a back-to-back. They had a loss to the Magic. Here's the difference. None of the Pelicans played in that game. No Zion, no Ingram, no Lonzo. So I see this number. That says to me that the FanDuel Sportsbook, Atlanta laying two in New Orleans, they don't think these guys are going to return. There's no way Atlanta's laying two with Zion, Ingram, and Lonzo out there for the Pelicans. That's something to watch, Aaron.
Yeah, that's definitely something to watch. One other game I just want to mention quickly that is happening tonight, we do indeed have the Bulls playing the Jazz. Jazz 16-6 against the spread in the last 22 road games, 1-4 against the spread last five games overall. So tough spot right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook when you're trying to bet on this game. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about our hero of the night, and then an hour or two talk all things college basketball. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. It is now time for our Hero of the Night.
Our our first hero of the night of the Major League Baseball season. A very, very high honor that someone is set to take home. A part of me wanted to troll a little bit, just go back to like hockey for no reason. We had to pick somebody, though, from this MLB slate. And I thought I owed it a little bit to my co-host to go a little pro-Philadelphia with this one, because it felt like I kept picking on the Flyers using hero of the night. So we go to the Phillies versus the Braves, the hero of the night, a walk-off game-winning single, Gene Segura. Step on up and get your hero of the night award here as we open Major League Baseball season, our first baseball player to take it home. And overall, loved it from Gene Segura here. Had Bryce Harper on third. They walked Didi Gregorius. Couldn't blame him there. Didi's an absolute legend. But Gene Segura, and I loved it on the broadcast, he basically was power walking to the plate. The disrespect that he felt that they wanted to face good old Gene Segura. Gets the single, doing a little airplane mode around the base pass to celebrate a little home opening victory in extras. Wish I was saying the same thing about the Yankees. I'm glad the Phillies did this so I didn't have to give the hero of the night to some stupid Toronto Blue Jay. I can't believe those bozos couldn't get any hits. But overall, Aaron, a hero of the night to Philadelphia's own Gene Segura.
Finally, a positive hero of the night that Kevin is dishing out here. Of course, yesterday he was picking on me because of the Flyers, and he has every right to do so. But I'm happy that the Phils got that win, even if it was a little bit of an extra inning there in that 10th to get it done 3-2. Kind of wish that overhit, but of course, you can't wish for too much here. But great hero of the night, Kev. And coming up next, we're going to be talking about all of our top headlines. Second hour of the show, we're going to get into all things college hoops, some of the top headlines there. We'll be previewing the Final Four games. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.